Psalm 100 reads, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And let's pray together. Father, you are good, and that's why we've come together today, to tell you just how good we think you are. We thank you for your enduring love. We thank you for your faithfulness through all generations, including your faithfulness for all 30 years here at East Wind. We thank you that for all that you have done in this place and all you will do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Glad to have you here today. We have a very special service. As we said, we're focusing on the love of God throughout the service today. We're glad that you're a part of it. But also today is special because after the service today, we're going to be having a special 30th retirement party for Tina Green. She has been the church secretary here at East Wind for all 30 years of our existence. Anyone who's ever been a part of East Wind knows how valuable Tina has been to us and how much she has done for us. At this time, we were going to give her a bouquet of roses, but she's allergic to them, okay? And so instead, here comes Joy Bell, our other church secretary. She has a bouquet of popcorn that she's going to take back to Tina right now. Now, the reason for that is that half the lunches that Tina has eaten in 30 years here at church have been popcorn, okay? And so we thought nothing would be better than giving her some popcorn. Yeah, good. We got a lot more we're going to tell you about Tina at the dinner, but for right now, take a moment, shake hands, greet one another, have a great time. You may be seated. Well, I hope that you have been enjoying this message series we've been in. I really have. The idea was very simple. Since we're celebrating our 30th anniversary as a church family this month, I thought I would go back over 30 years of sermons that I've preached here at East Wind and look for a common theme, a common thread that has run throughout all 30 years, and I think I found one. We're calling this message series, Remember This. God came, God cares, God's coming again. And in this series, I have been revisiting some of my favorite messages and restudying some of my favorite passages and retelling some of my favorite stories. And looking back over the 30 years, I noticed that probably the topic I've talked about more than any other topic is the love of God. You see, I believe that the love of God is the biggest and best news in the entire Bible. Oh, when we read in the Bible that God created the heavens and the earth, that God made everything, that's big news. But then when we read that creator God loves us, that's the biggest news of all. And so what I want you to do is what we've been doing for all 30 years at East Wind. Would you stand with me as I read God's Word? And today I want to read just the first half of the most famous verse in all the Bible, and I want you to read it with me out loud, off screen, right now. Ready? Here we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." Do you see? He loved, so he gave. Love always expresses itself in actions, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let me pray, and then we'll get to work. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love. It's going to be my pleasure to talk about your amazing love today. But Father, I also want to say thank you to the people of this church. For 30 years, they have entrusted me with their greatest treasure, their time. And may I today, by your power, make good use of it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. If you will grab those connect boards located up the aisle, just sign in, pass it down, bring it back to where it started. If you are a first-time guest with us, then you are our honored guest. We're glad you're here. We have a gift bag back on the back table that you can pick up on your way out today. Do you remember this? I told you this story all the way back in the fourth year of East Wind's existence, 1991, back when we were temporarily meeting in the Coger office building. How many remember the Coger office building? Let me see the hands of the old-timers. All right, good. Here's the story. My daughter Patty, age six, had been to a birthday party with one of her friends here at church at Showbiz Pizza Place. How many remember Showbiz Pizza Place, okay? The place with those big, scary, animatronic figures. Remember those that sang and danced? Okay. Well, anyway, I picked up Patty after the party. She bounced in the car, and she was telling me all about the party. And as we drove home, she reached over and turned on the radio and started singing along with a popular song. She's six. And I looked at her and thought, she's getting so big so quick, okay? I mean, you know, she's growing up so fast. I looked at her, and her hair's all in style, and her clothes are all in style. She looked like she was halfway to a dormitory, okay? And I reached over, and I turned down the radio, and I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, Patty, I want to say something to you. I said, you're really special. I said, someday some hairy-legged boy is going to come along, and he's going to walk you off, and that hairy-legged boy's here, as a matter of fact, all right? Some hairy-legged boy is going to come along and walk you off, but for right now, you belong to me. And she kind of looked up at me, and she turned her head sideways, and she said, Dad, why are you being so weird, okay? Well, I can imagine that my words sounded weird to a six-year-old. I mean, at six, she could not comprehend the love of a parent. No six-year-old can. And I don't think any of us can really comprehend the love that God has for us. But it sure doesn't keep him from speaking to us, does he? Would you let God speak to you today and tell you how much he loves you? Maybe that's what your heart needs to hear more than anything else today. Maybe you need to just feel the sense of his hand on your shoulder and hear him say to you, you're something special. The biggest news in all the Bible is you are loved by God. You are loved by God. In 1 John chapter 3, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. I love that word, lavished. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Okay, and how did he lavish his love on us? You know that. First, he hung a star in the Bethlehem sky. And then he filled that pasture with song and with angels. And then he placed within the womb of a teenage girl the essence, the presence, the very being of God. And God grew inside of Mary until it was time. And then the Word became flesh. And Mary held the baby Jesus, and she didn't know whether that she should give him milk or praise. And Joseph looked at Jesus and wasn't sure whether he should call him son or father, because he was both. And neither Joseph or Mary would say it as bluntly as Patty did to me, but don't you think they kind of tilted their heads and said, God, why are you acting so weird? Born in a stable with donkeys and sheep looking on? Don't you think they tilted their head and said, what in the world are you doing, God? Or maybe they thought, what are you doing in the world, God? What was God doing in the world? He came here to love us. He came here to teach us. But ultimately, he came here to die for our sins. If you've ever questioned if God loves you, God answered that question on an old rugged cross. That's me on that cross, God says. Your maker, your God, bleeding, stabbed, nailed. That's me on that cross, dying for you, and I'll be resurrected for you. That's how much I love you. Anytime you ever question if God loves you, just look at the cross. See what great love, 1 John says, he's lavished on us. So what I want to do right now is out loud, I just want you to say with me the phrase, I am loved by God. Ready? Say it with me. I am loved by God. Say it again with feeling. I am loved by God. Turn to the person beside you. Say, my name is so-and-so, and I am loved by God. Go ahead. Oh, people, let that sink in. I am loved by God. I am his child. He wants me to live with him for all of eternity in his home called heaven. What more is there in life to achieve than that? What could you possibly put on your life's resume that was more significant than that? Jeff Whitlock, loved by God. You can't top that. You just can't. Add up everything else in your life that you've accomplished. Add it all up together, and it doesn't equal that one sentence. I am loved by God. And once you realize that's how much God values you, and once you live in that for a while, then you'll know what the next step is. Step one is, I am loved by God. Step two is, now love one another. Now love one another. I want to tell you how I want you to love one another by telling you about a fascinating story I just read. I've never told you this story before. It's about Andrew Moscone. Every day, he follows the exact same routine. Every morning, this 84-year-old Italian puts on a suit and tie, drives to the city hall in Cremona, Italy, and enters the violin museum. There he stands before the most elaborate multi-lock display cases and admires the most valuable, most expensive instruments on the planet. There are a total of 8 violins in this museum. 3 were built by the Armani family, 2 by the Guarini family, and 3 of the violins were handcrafted by the master himself, Antonio Stradivari. The newest of the violins is 286 years old. The oldest is 467 years old. The least expensive one cost $1.3 million. The most expensive one, one of the Stradivarius, is valued at $55 million alone. All these violins were all built in this same one city, Cremona, Italy. And so they've hired Andrea Moscone to be the curator, the caretaker of these precious violins. A comparable job would be the caretaker of the Declaration of Independence. Andrew Moscone is responsible for over $100 million of wood and string. So how does he take care of them? He plays them. He says the best way to care for these precious violins is to play them. If the instruments aren't played, the wood gets tired and the violins lose their vibrancy. So Andrew Moscone's job description is 2 words: play music, which he does. Every day of the week, okay, except Sundays, every day throughout the year. Every morning he begins, he goes through the elaborate unlocking procedure, takes one violin out, tunes it up, and then he plays it for 15 minutes and fills that museum with beautiful music. Then he goes through the elaborate system, relocks that violin, moves on to the next one and to the next one until he's played all 8 violins, and then he's done. And then he comes back the next day, and he does it all over again. How would you like to have that job? You do. You do. Oh, you don't step inside a museum in Italy every day, and you don't handle a $55 million Stradivarius. Your assignment is far more important than that. Your assignment is, you are to bring out the best, not in violins, but in the people around you. Let's talk about some of the precious treasures in your life. Some of them share your house. Some of them share your name. Oh, you think of them as your kids, or as that guy who takes out the garbage, or as that woman who's sometimes moody. You don't think of them as treasures because maybe they have bad breath or maybe they have a bad attitude. But you know what? If you handle them with care, they can put out some really good music. And then there are those instruments, those people whose names you do not know that you randomly meet every day. The lady who checks out your groceries, the nurse who takes your blood pressure, the man who changes the oil in your car. You don't think of them as a Stradivarius, but the truth of the matter is they were handcrafted by the master designer, by God himself. And they are beautiful and unique and precious in his sight. And maybe all they need to bring out their beautiful music is a Moscone, is someone who cares about them. Every day to say, God, what can I do today to bring out the best in other people? One day, a man walked up to Jesus, and he asked him a question. He wanted to know which was the greatest commandment. Listen to how Jesus answers in Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Of all the commandments, he asked, which one is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now, did you notice? The guy asked, tell me the one greatest commandment. How does Jesus answer? He answers by giving him 2. I wish he wouldn't have done that. I wish he'd just stuck with the first one, right? Because we can do the first one, love the Lord your God. We can do that, love the Lord your God. But then Jesus goes on and he says, but here's how you do the first one. You do the first one by loving your neighbor as yourself. Do you understand? The second commandment is how we live out the first commandment. If you really love the Lord your God, then you'll show it by loving your neighbor. Oh, but Lord, have you seen my neighbor? Jesus is saying, do you want to know if a person loves God? Then look at the way that they treat other people. A farmer was being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter asked him, are you a Christian? Well, the farmer took out a notepad and wrote down the name of his wife, the name of all his farmhands who worked for him, the names of the waitresses at the local restaurant, and the name of the neighbors who lived on each side of him. And the farmer said to the reporter, if you want your question answered, you need to go ask them if I'm a Christian, not me. Jesus said, the way someone will know if you love God is if you love other people. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, how can you say that you love God whom you have never seen if you can't love the people you see every day? Now that's tough, isn't it? It's tough to love other people. So how do we do it? That's what the Apostle John wants to teach us. This is the scripture that we read earlier. Listen to it again from the responsive reading. 1 John chapter 4, let's pick it up in verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. There you go. Write this down. We don't love people because they're lovable. We love people because God loves us. We don't love them because they're lovable. We love people because God loves us. If our love for other people depends on their lovability, we're in trouble because most people aren't lovable all the time. I know I am, but most people aren't, okay? Just kidding. We all get cranky. We all get moody. We all get self-centered. But according to the Apostle John here, we can still love people who are hard to love. Why? Because we are hard to love. And God still loves us. I mean, think about it. God already knows all the ways you're going to mess up in the future. But he's never going to stop loving you. God knows all the ways that you have sinned or disobeyed in the past, and that hasn't lowered his love for you one bit. Oh, he doesn't approve of those things, but it's never going to stop him from loving you. That's why I say that the love of God is the biggest and best news in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. His love took action, okay? Because that's what love does. It acts in the best interest of another person. That's the biblical definition of love, by the way. Write it down. Love is a decision to do what's in the best interest of another person. Love is a decision to do what's in the best interest of another person. So when you love someone, what you're saying to them is, I will do for you whatever is in your best interest. That's how you can love someone and not like them. Okay? That's how you can love someone and not want to go fishing with them. That's how you can love someone and not be buddy-buddy with them. You're doing what's in their best interest. Just like Andrea Mosconi was doing for those violins. He brings out the best in them. So how would your world change? How would your world change if instead of seeing people as nameless mannequins, if you saw them as God's masterpieces? It would change your attitude everywhere you went. Instead of seeing people as just co-workers or clients, instead of seeing them as patients or students, as a husband or a wife, as black or white, instead we will see them as God sees them, as masterpieces. Back in 2008, I told you this story from Guidepost Magazine. Just a great story. Do you remember this? It's a story about a husband and wife named George and Ethel who were both in their 80s. They've been married for 64 years. Here's their story. While at Walmart picking up a few things, George saw the mulch and thought it would make the flower beds look pretty good. So he went to the garden center desk and asked for a truck full of mulch to be delivered the day after tomorrow. Oh, sir, the cashier said, Walmart doesn't deliver. And right in the middle of her sentence, the garden store manager cut her off and said to George, now when did you need that delivered? Day after tomorrow? How about 10 o'clock? George said, that'd be great. So George paid for the mulch, and sure enough, at the scheduled time, a pickup truck full of mulch pulled into George and Ethel's. Out jumped that same garden center manager, and he unloaded all the mulch. When George offered to pay for the delivery, the manager said, "Well, actually, Walmart doesn't deliver mulch, so I borrowed my neighbor's truck to bring this mulch to you." George was stunned at his kindness, and he demanded that he come in the house and have a cup of Ethel's coffee, which he did, and they had a great visit. As the manager got up to go, Ethel said, "Thank you so much for doing this. I know you had to be a very busy man. This was such a nice thing that you did." And John Andrews, the manager, simply said, "Well, ma'am, I'm a Christian, and we help each other out." And with that, John Andrews left, but his witness and his testimony for Jesus stayed. That's how love works. John Andrews did what was in the best interest of that elderly couple. He gave of himself. He put his love into action. Friends, that's the sign of a genuine Christ follower. It's not a cross necklace that you wear around your neck. It's not a "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet around your wrist. It's not a fish bumper sticker on your car. It's not even a Bible in your hand. The sign of a genuine Christ follower is that you put your love into action. So what would happen if we followed John Andrews' lead? What would happen in your world to those closest to you if you started thinking of their best interests? Let's find out, okay? Right now, make a mental list of the 5 most important people in your life. The 5 most important people in your world. Just make a list right now. I've got time. Go ahead, do it right now. Make a list. 5 most important people, 5 people you see the most, whichever way you want to do it. You got them? Your 5 names? Okay, here's the question. Are those 5 names not the most priceless and precious instruments in your life? Are they not your 5 greatest treasures? They are the 5 most precious violins in your world. Your job, Jesus says, is to be Andrea Mosconi to them. Your job, Jesus says, is to bring out the best in them. Your job, Jesus says, is to love them. Think of it like this. When you come down to the last day of your life, when there's only a few grains of sand left in the hourglass of your life, what are you going to want at that moment? Are you going to say, "Get me my PhD degree so I can hold it up against my head because it'll make me feel so much better"? Are you going to say, "Get a wheelchair and wheel me out to my new car because I want to lay in those leather seats because they'll make me feel so much better"? Are you going to say, "Give me my checkbook. I want to see how much money I have. I want to hold it against my heart. It'll make me feel so much better"? That's not what you're going to want, is it? When death comes knocking on your door, what are you going to want? You're going to want those 5 names you just listed by your side. You're going to want to hear their voices. You're going to want to hold their hands. You're going to want to say, "I love you" to them and hear them say, "I love you" back. If those 5 relationships will matter the most then, shouldn't they matter the most now? And if they matter the most, then shouldn't we be doing what's in their best interest? Like what Robert McQuilkin did. Robert McQuilkin is the beloved president of Columbia University for 22 years when he resigned as president to take care of his wife Muriel, who was yet another victim of Alzheimer's. I showed you this video of his resignation speech back in 2002. Watch the screen. Do you remember this?
"I haven't in my life experienced easy decision-making on major decisions, but one of the simplest and clearest decisions I've had to make is this one, because circumstances dictated it. Muriel, now, in the last couple of months, seems to be almost happy when with me, and almost never happy when not with me. In fact, she seems to feel trapped, becomes very fearful, sometimes almost terror, and when she can't get to me, there can be anger, she's in distress. But when I'm with her, she's happy and contented. And so I must be with her at all times, and You see, it's not only that I promised in sickness and in health, till death do us part, and I'm a man of my word, but as I have said, I don't know with this group, but I've said publicly, it's the only fair thing. She sacrificed for me for 40 years to make my life possible. So, if I cared for her for 40 years, I'd still be in debt. However, there's much more. It's not that I have to, it's that I get to. I love her very dearly, and you can tell it's not easy to talk about. She's a delight. It's a great honor to care for such a wonderful person.
That's love in action. He did what was in his wife's best interest, even if that meant leaving a job that he loved. All right. You know who your five people are. You got them? They are created by God. They are finely tuned instruments. Well, maybe they're not so finely tuned. Maybe what they need is a Moscone. Someone who will give them attention. Someone who will love them and care them for them. Someone who will bring out the best in them. And Jesus says that someone is you. Let's pray. Father and God, this is our prayer today, that we will begin to see people as you do. We repent because we haven't done that well in the past. And we ask for your help to do it a lot better in the future, to see people as the masterpieces you created them to be. And Father, help us to love, to act, to do what's in the best interest of our five people we made in our list and everyone we meet. Because, Father, that's what you did for us. You loved us when we weren't lovable. So help us to love, to do what's best for others. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.